You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.
Today on our show, I'm talking with Kanan Hamburger. Kanan, thanks so much for being with me today.
Hi.
The show Vanitas is up now at the gallery and Charles Moffett. And it's a beautiful show, and I'd like to talk a little bit about this. The title, Vanitas, can you tell me a little bit about how that you know, kind of colors the show, why that title?
Yeah, certainly. So it evolved through, I first kind of, I've heard the term the treachery of images a lot, and I've been applying it to the treachery of genres, and the Vanitas is a genre of sorts, but I have found that it can apply to so many things, and so that's kind of where it began, because one could, in a Dutch Golden Age Vanitas picture, anything is being depicted to make one introspective or think about, you know, futility of existence, any of those large things. So yeah, that's where it began.
And let's talk about the work in the show. So there's a number of different pieces that I wanted to talk about, but there's one called Painting Class 2023. This is an egg tempera piece, pretty small, 11 by 12. Tell me about this one. It's kind of an unusual composition. We're in front of the number one subway, and it looks like it's a painting of another painter, a subway worker, perhaps, painting lines.
Yeah, well, he's painting over something that was painted previously, and something that's worn through time, the line at the stairwell that people tread upon on their daily commutes. In this painting, I think it's most explicitly displaying how the subject and the object are intertwined. You know, his arm is resting in such a way that mimics the handrail. And in addition, you know, it looks like the composition is subscribing to a perspectival system, but instead it's just a bunch of layered rectangles and creating these, I guess, these like unknown orthogonalities. I think what's key in all the works that I have is that I'm scraping from the places that usually begin my process. And so here the cement is scraped and ground and inserted into the painting.
Oh, wow. So
again, playing
about
with that,
that
subject.
So tell me a little bit about that process. What is scraped and ground into the painting?
Well, if you think about pigment, you know, it's many different kinds of rocks and dirt that are ground to be quite refined. And that's my starting point. And I know that these sort of games are very performative. You know, there's an element of performance that, like, taking from the place and placing it within the painting, and but it also changes the paint. Like, it doesn't act the way other pigment does, and it adds another element while painting. Like, I'm resisting and fighting something additional in the process. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that does make sense. A really nice sense of the layers there. And so so let's talk of another one, which has some similarities. Theater is the domestication of an audience. That's such an interesting title, because I guess that's true. Theater sort of domesticates the audience, makes them sit and behave. I never thought of it that way. I don't know if that's a quote from something, but that's really interesting. Tell me about this work and that title.
Well, first, it is a quote from a Jenny Z poem from her collection of poems, The Rupture Tense. Big fan of hers, and she, it'd be cool to meet her. I know she's in New York. I should probably reach out. The person sitting in the corner, you know, he is in rest and refusing to acknowledge the viewer, and it's contrasted with like all this stuff lying about that is more like a theater set. And in addition, this is another play on perspective. If you look, you know, there is no vanishing point, actually. Everything is just a little bit off. And the barriers, the Con Ed barriers that are most central are, it's, you know, on the one hand, it's kind of tongue-in-cheek, because I was thinking about, do you know the Renaissance perspective drawings of horses' asses?
Yes, I do.
So it's kind of, you know, once I say that, I feel like it changes how you look at those barriers. I feel like there's something that's funny about them too.
So much of your work is, what we've just been talking about is like a reference to art history, other painters. You know, it doesn't seem that way initially, but when we talk about it, there's so much reference to history, painters, and even painting itself, right?
Yeah, and you know, anyone who claims that they're like only functioning from a purely art historical perspective, like, they have obviously a chance of missing something essential. So it's not that there is a lot of research, there is performance, but then there's also things that there's a tactility that happens when I paint. Like, I don't know how to explain that further than that.
No, that makes sense. Yeah, the tactility is about the kind of materials that you're using, right? As they say now, the materiality of what's happening, right?
That word.
The materiality is the word. Yeah.
Yeah. How many times have you heard it on this show?
Well, yeah, I hear it in galleries too. But it's something that happens. I feel like I see a lot of art in New York, and often there's some really interesting things happening on the surface that, you know, are sometimes wowing, sometimes very subtle, but often, something happening on the surface that seems really interesting.
I recently saw a painting show by Robert Zandvliet, if I'm assuming, at, where did I see it? But he was using egg tempera, and it was, he did it in a way that I'd never seen before. It was really awesome. And so it's great what can be done with this material in particular, that I really didn't expect getting into it. Like, it's been really a treat.
And tell me about that material. Why is that exciting to use that material? Because it is really cool. And you're talking about egg tempera and pigment and more, right? That you're grinding and kind of metamorphosizing into paint, right? It's not an unusual technique,
exactly,
like you're saying.
I mean,
it is an unusual technique, but you're doing it in your own way. I mean, as you said, that is the derivation of paint, but you're doing it in your own way, right, in terms of what you're finding and putting into the paint.
Well, egg tempera really lends itself well to that, I think. I've been trying to paint for a really long time, and I mean, a lot of times it felt like I was pushing around plastic. I don't know how else to describe it. It just didn't do it. I was reading an article about George Tooker and Jared French and the gang, and they had passed around this manual that was translated in the 1930s from the 1400s. It was Cennino Cennini's Craftsman Handbook, and I felt like they handed it to me. I know that sounds silly, but you know, and then I picked it up, and
was about making your own paint. That book is like the manual, the 16th century
exactly.
manual on making paint, right?
Well, it's on everything. It goes from color to color. And in painting class, the painting you asked me about, I think initially, I began only using the colors that are recommended in this book. And so there's a double entendre where it's a painting class from the book. And then in the background, furthest in the background, is Hunter's Studios, because I was at the time I was in graduate school. And then in the foreground, there's a discussion of work and et cetera, and painting in class. I began that because it's actually back to Hunter. There's like a group of people talking about Williamsburg paint, and it felt nice to not have that skin in the game. I don't know how to describe it.
Not have the skin in the game of going to Williamsburg Paints and getting their handmade products, or the opposite.
It's irresistible to be not going only to the store to buy the paint. Does that make
yeah,
sense?
Absolutely. Yeah, it sure does. No, it's much more exciting. You're much more on the, you know, you're cutting out some middle people there and getting down to it in a different way. So let's talk about Vanitas, another work, 2023, Egg Temper Pigment in Ground Manhattan Schist on Panel. So, there's a couple of really interesting things and a number of interesting things about this. The scene you're portraying is different than others. A whole bunch of dogs, like, getting together in what looks like a dog park, as well as what looks like a lot of things within the scene, kind of a miniature dog off to the right and colorful trucks in the background. And then this swirling gray ground, which I imagine is that color of schist, right, that you're making yourself?
Yeah. In that painting, it's on the one hand, I just really love Manhattan schist. When staring at it, I think about time and it's really geologically effective. I don't know how to describe it, and I think a lot of people do. One hears people talking about it all the time, like these rocks jutting out of parks. It's quite something. It's not true to, like, the picture is not true to how this actually looks. The composition is from Bruegel's Hunters in the Snow. And instead of the people returning from the hunt, one has dog walkers in the foreground. And like, I don't stick true to all of his themes, but I began with just the composition and then the dog walkers. But then I started, like, entering the logic of his games. Like, you'll see on the left-hand corner there are dried up or wintering, what are they called, plants. And they kind of mimic the hair of the person whose back is towards you. And then a branch from a tree is cut, and it's on the same plane as the faces, and all the trees take on trees move as they grow, just at a different time. So what else? I don't know, ask me something else about it. I feel like I've lost my train of thought.
No, it's okay. Yeah, no, you're doing really good. That's really clear.
All right.
I think also the schist that you're talking about, I mean, you're talking about different elements in the painting, but But the schist is also a rock that's particularly Manhattan, right? That's all over the place. It's all over Central Park, and it's massive. And as you're saying, it has a particular quality to it, right? I don't know much about geology or rocks, but I know that there's tons of that in Manhattan, and you see it everywhere. And it's kind of what everything often gets built around. Like, you can't just blast it out.
Exactly.
It's immovable.
It holds the buildings down. Yeah, it's the counterweight of these things.
Right, yeah. Exactly. Yeah, it's so interesting.
And then you mentioned the little dog.
Right,
on the
little
right
dog.
Corner.
Yeah, exactly.
So there's a woman carrying a Vanity Fair bag, but just as Vanity, and she's picking up poo. It was like irresistible for me.
But the scale of that is so interesting. So that dog is so small, it almost seems like she's in another forest of her own, right? The way this painting is put together with foreground and background, it feels like we're in a park, like Central Park, and on top of a mountain of schist, right? Is that what's actually happening?
Well, exactly. It's in Riverside Park, there's a monument to the right, and it's the Warsaw Ghetto Uprising Memorial, and then to the left, there are Christmas trees that are being mulched. And so that's like the communal theme happening in the middle, which in a lot of Bruegel's paintings, there is like some shared activity that's happening. And and the two, you know, like that long park, so many things exist simultaneously. It's baffling if you like make a list of it. Like if I made like a Richard Serra list of what's happening, like the verbs happening in that park at that moment, it'd be wild.
Yeah, that's true. That's one of those parks where everything's happening. Yeah, it's very much a kind of residential area and park, so a lot's going on there. And it's so interesting. So it's great talking to you about this show and the installation. And of course, there's more work in the show that we could discuss. It's the whole show in general is around this idea of how you're using paint, right? This is something that you're doing with all of the works, right? Creating your own pigments in a variety of ways. Is that correct?
Well, in all the paintings, but there's a room of drawings that is in the back, and then there's a sculpture in the center. But the theme of the city as a still life, I'm using that word. The theme continues, but in other mediums as well.
right. So let's talk about the sculpture that's in the middle on the podium, right?
Yes.
Tell me about that, because that is different from the rest of what we see here.
I used English porcelain for it, which is a funny porcelain, you know, around the industrial age. Or the Industrial Revolution, like a little before then, there's this fight of who can recreate porcelain so they no longer have to get it from the Chinese, and trying to break the code, the secret. And throughout Europe, there was a craze. And this was the British one made on British ground. And then on top of it, I overlaid a print of my drawing of an Olmsted Park, which the Olmsted Parks in all throughout New York are were inspired by the British picturesque. And so it's, you know, again, the material matters, the image matters, and all of these things. But that's what that one's about.
I like that. Then, go on. And then what?
Oh, no, I was going to talk about the drawings, but
No, let's talk about the drawings. Yeah, because right. No, yeah, no, oh, okay. I like to hear about the drawings because right, they're beautiful and heavily detailed, and that's again something very different than the paintings or the sculptures. Yeah, tell me about the drawings and that approach.
So it was fun because it's called the 14 Stations of the Scaffolding. So it's a play on the 14 Stations of the Cross. But you only have 7 from this series, but it's 14 divided by 2 because there's the 7 of the rising of the scaffolding and then 7 of a woman descending through the image. And, you know, you asked me earlier about looking to art history, but, you know, reading these things, like through that division, there was a creative process. And so there's a dialogue with it. Oh gosh, that came out kind of.
No, that sounds okay. That sounds okay.
So I enjoyed that like a number that's so known is also divided. Or a theme.
Well, I like
that's
that.
So
and you're also talking about something like the scaffolding, of course, as you're seeing, is different. Is the scaffolding of New York, is the scaffolding that we see in construction.
Yeah. It's not construction. All the images are about, or not, all the paintings, drawings, and the parks, everything is about maintenance. So it's like nothing is being constructed there.
Right, it's being maintained. And why all maintenance? Why choose or why the focus on maintenance?
Well, I thought it went well with the idea of vanitas, and I've heard a lot of talk of, you know, like a pre-lapsarian picture or a post-lapsarian picture, and you know, in reality, like that doesn't make any sense. Like history is kind of more messy than that, and I felt like maintenance holds that middle ground. And yeah.
I like that. I like that very much.
Thanks.
It's great. It's great talking to you about all of this. I want to ask you one more question before we go, which is, what are you reading at the moment?
I love biographies. Like the thing. And I've been reading Benjamin Moser's books lately, and I first read The Upside Down World, and I read it twice. I love it so much. And then I read the Susan Sontag book, and like not out of, I mean, she's great and all that, but I wasn't particularly interested in her. It was more the way he wrote. And now she's like alive in my life. I think like I'm making new panels right now and mixing with rabbit skin glue, and it's got this really intense smell. And to find out that Susan Sontag liked the smell of rotting flesh, like, I don't know, but then I finished those, and I picked up another biography by The Story of Dickie Chappelle by Larissa Reinhart. She was a reporter. I guess I'm reading about women these days. Biographies about women. Yes.
That sounds interesting. Kinnon, I just want to thank you so much for talking to me today. There's links here for listeners to learn more about the show and hopefully see it before it closes. But I want to thank you so much for talking to me today. It's really been a pleasure.
It's really cool. Thanks for putting me on. This is it's quite an honor, Brainerd. Thank you.
You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.